Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to another News and Focus podcast. We are on the Brilliant Pastor's Light today, and we're looking at an article by, who's our?
Emma Green.
Emma Green, and it's The Atlantic. We've got a picture of Russell Moore, and he is interviewing then-president candidate Jeb Bush. Now, Russell Moore, he is the head of the Ethics...
Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission.
Right, Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. He works for the Southern Baptist Convention. And, David, they have enough money to where they can pay guys like this. Probably a six-figure salary is my guess.
I'm sure he does well, yeah.
Right, and how would you describe to a layperson his job?
He's kind of a lobbyist of sorts. I mean, he's kind of like the political liaison for the convention with congressmen and government leaders in Washington. That seems to be his. And he kind of takes the stand on a lot of social, cultural issues.
On behalf of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Yeah, he's the mouthpiece or the figurehead for that. Yeah.
Right. So let's just, before we get into the article, David, we've got this guy, Paul, and he's got Timothy and Titus and guys like that. And they're kind of busy planning churches. And then 2,000 years later, we land in this position where we have a convention that has enough money to pay someone to kind of what?
Get involved in politics.
Right. Get involved in politics. Is that the way we want to describe it?
For the sake of the quote-unquote ministry.
Well, yeah, I think probably he's kind of like a lawyer with some personality. I mean, that's what a lobbyist is. Mm-hmm. You know, a lawyer who's able to really convince people, or that's their job, is to try to convince people to see things their way.
Mm-hmm. And there's no indication that Russell Moore's a lawyer, right?
No. I was just saying...
But you're saying using that idea?
Yeah, that you know, the idea of this interface is somebody who's going to be, you know... real qualified to talk to the talking points, spend their time, their focus, trying to get political entities to see things the Christian way or the Southern Baptist way, wherever those things intersect.
Now, Russell Moore came out of Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah. He's a smart guy. He's well-read.
Very articulate.
Yeah, writes well, speaks well. I mean, he's an impressive guy for the position. Whether you agree with his positions or not, but, you know, he's qualified.
But he's qualified, yeah. Right. And, or whether you agree with whether the church should be this involved in politics.
Yeah, exactly. That's a whole other conversation. Mm-hmm.
Right. And certainly that conversation leads to, in part, where you're going to be in this entire discussion.
Yeah, sure.
Is it the church's job to be influencing Rome?
Yeah, What have Athens to do with Jerusalem, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, at what point, and we're going to get into the controversy with Trump in this article.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's revealing. The other thing that will probably come up is this. The Southern Baptist Convention is not a unified group right now. I mean, we did a podcast, a few months back on the Calvinism-Arminianism debate, and now we've got the something centered around the president. So... it seems that theologically and politically, we've got a divide within the convention.
And you know, it's the largest, quote, Protestant group, whatever that means, in the United States. There are a lot of Southern Baptists. There are a lot that are asleep every Sunday morning. And there are a right many that get up every morning and go to church on Sundays. And they're divided on Trump.
Yeah.
Quite divided, as the nation is.
Yeah, it's probably true.
March 14, 2017, on Monday, the Washington Post reported that Russell Moore, the leader of the Southern Baptist Convention's political arm, might lose his job. The denomination's executive committee asked Moore for a private meeting to discuss an unfolding controversy. More than 100 churches are considering cutting off funding from the convention, according to the Post. Of course, the most influential is the one we're getting ready to mention, Preston Wood Baptist Church. John, you've been there, right?
I've never been there.
Oh, you've never been there?
But I've seen their YouTube clips. Pretty good choir and orchestra.
We visited when we were coming out of the Star Majors Academy and driving back to North Carolina, and we stopped there and spent the night. And it is one impressive, it's unlike any place you've visited before. And so they announced in February that they're going to temporarily withhold roughly, get this number, guys. They're going to withhold $1 million from the convention's cooperative mission program.
Wow.
$1 million.
We'll take that.
That'll get somebody's attention.
Now, if you're in the cooperative missions program and your job is to send checks out to missionaries all over the world to keep them, you know, fed and clothed and sheltered, and a church is saying, you know, we think we're just going to hold our money until we get some clarity on where you guys stand with Russell Moore. I bet you that's why the executive committee decided to have a meeting.
Yeah, have an investigation. Mm-hmm.
The executive committee has recently begun an investigation into why these funds are being withheld. All right, Brian?
The proximate cause for the backlash is the election. Moore was hypercritical of Donald Trump, while roughly 81% of white evangelicals, which includes a lot of Southern Baptists, ended up voting for the president. Page told the Post, "If the meeting doesn't go well, I'm fully prepared to ask Moore for a change in his status."
How polite. Let's just do a change in your status.
Are we 2017 or what?
Yeah, from employed to unemployed.
It used to be you got fired. Now you have a change.
Do they not
status.
Know who the president is? You're fired.
Yeah. A change in your status. Yeah.
You remember that for when you ever have to dismiss them.
Yeah. E for employed and U for unemployed. Yeah. We're going to make a change in your status.
Check this box over here.
While the controversy might seem like routine bureaucratic infighting in the country's largest Protestant denomination, it is symbolic of deeper tensions. The SBC in the middle of a huge identity crisis, said Dave Miller, the senior pastor of Southern Hills Baptist Church in Sioux City, Iowa, who edits the blog SBC Voices. We don't know who we are.
Well, at least there's some accurate assessment there. Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, this is not a Christian organization, right? Emma Green is not writing for a Christian organization.
No,
this is The Atlantic. This is
secular magazine.
Secular entity, right. Okay.
So she seems to get the context, at least from some of the past authors we've seen.
Yeah. Now well, and that was when I came across the story, I was trying to find something that was fairly, you know, straightforward with the facts and balanced, because, you know, you can see how certain people might take this article and go in different directions with it.
All right, the Russell Moore
backlash saga has now had a few waves. The Wall Street Journal reported criticism of Moore from a number of prominent evangelical leaders in December, suggesting a potentially dramatic rebuke ahead. Monday's Post story was the latest update. For the first time in a few months, it really looked like Moore's job might be on the line.
And I think the funny thing here is I mean, we've experienced a little bit of this too, not to this degree, obviously, but we haven't been head over heels over the president. And I know we've had, I don't know if they were church members or attenders, or but a handful of people that have...
That were not happy
not
with
been
us.
Happy with that.
No. Uh-uh. There is a real expectation that you kiss the ring.
Yeah.
That you line up, man, and, man, you know, fall on your sword and, you know, David, it seems as though the idea is that in order for Trump to be a good president, he's got to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. Because Russell Moore, in essence, is questioning the authenticity of the man's faith.
Yeah, which he's absolutely right to do in my mind, you know.
Right,
yeah.
And these, you know, let's face it, Preston Wood is a rich white church filled with Republicans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just the facts.
Yeah, the most Republican state probably that exists.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Texas. Right. Yeah. I mean, when you have $1 million to give the missions, okay, and we're only in the month of February. Do you understand that? In the month of February.
Yeah.
Okay. So even if their fiscal year started in November, let's just say they were doing the October through whatever process.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. That is a lot of money, you know. What do they give to missions annually? $5 million maybe?
Yeah.
That's a ton of money.
It'd be even more interesting to see if it was just the, as far as the, you know, for church polity. Are the church members aware that this is going on, or
is this strictly the
you know, the hierarchy? Because in our church, I mean, I know we wouldn't be doing that number, but with $10,000, you wouldn't move $10,000 without the church's, you know, awareness of what's going on, or stop giving to a program without letting them know you're doing it.
Yeah, I would suggest to you that this is just speculation. I could easily be corrected, But I would say that there's some pretty wealthy white deacons in that congregation on these committees that are making a lot of push because they voted for Trump.
Yeah.
And they're crazy about Trump, and they think that Trump's going to turn America around.
Yeah.
And I can question his salvation, David, and still believe him to be a good president.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the most frustrating thing for me for this whole thing is they've been trying to jam Trump into this Christian mold where he clearly isn't. You know, and if you think he is, you're not paying attention. I mean, call us judgmental or whatever, but there's no fruit there. You know, there's no evidence of past fruit. There's no evidence of present fruit. There's no articulation of the gospel. There's none of the things that you want to hear from a Christian. But like you said, that doesn't mean he can't be an effective president. It doesn't mean I can't support his administration. And that's basically what Russell Moore has done is he was outspoken on, hey, this guy isn't a Christian. But has Trump changed his tune and said, well, because Russell Moore didn't support me, I'm not going to support Southern Baptists? No, because they're, like you said, a huge part of his foundation for electoral support. So, mm-hmm. this hasn't hurt the Southern Baptist Convention. So, you're really going after Moore for a political disagreement within a religious organization. It's interesting.
It is very interesting because first and foremost, I know that Moore would call himself a preacher.
Sure. Yeah.
Because if he gets fired, or I'm sorry, if his status changes, he'll get picked up in a congregation in a millisecond. Yeah. He'll have his job back at Southern Seminary.
Yeah, he can teach or whatever.
In a millisecond.
Because he's a PhD.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and what's troubling to me about it is they've chosen, their identity is the Texan, Republican, Trump supporter over maybe this thing called the gospel. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're withholding, I'm taking my ball and going home, this hope for the world in the gospel.
I'm going to put a stop on the spreading of the gospel because of your political decisions.
Yeah. It's just bizarre. Yeah. I was waiting for the other shoe to drop and say, well, maybe that's not what I'm seeing, but that's what I'm seeing.
All right, well, let's continue working through the article.
But once the Post story broke, the executive committee started walking things back. After Moore met with the committee, they put out a joint statement saying, We deepened our friendship and developed mutual understanding on ways we believe will move us forward as a network of churches. Roger Singh Oldham, the executive committee's spokesman, claimed Page hadn't really suggested he might ask Moore for his resignation. Page received a call from a reporter on Sunday afternoon while he was returning from church, Oldham said, and he indicated his desire was to build bridges going forward. He said, well, nothing is off the table, but my goal is to build bridges in this private meeting. Short of Moore deciding he was going to resign, it was unlikely he would have lost his job on Monday. The governing structure of the Southern Baptist Convention is complex. Only the Board of Trustees that specifically oversees Moore's organization, the Ethics of Religious Liberty Commission, has the power to ask him to resign. Page couldn't have fired Moore even if he wanted to. Ken Barbaric, who chairs the ERLC's Board of Trustees, has openly praised Moore and emphasized his support for Moore's work.
Okay, so Moore's got the board that hires and fire him support, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got presidents of the Southern various SBC seminaries that are either on Moore's side or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have pastors of various SBC churches that are either on Moore's side or not.
Right.
And the greatest degree that these pastors have of influencing things is the withholding of their financial support.
To try to pressure that board of trustees to take action.
To take action.
So is the missionary money the only thing that churches send to the SBC? Or do they send other fees and money?
No, I would imagine there'd be other fees too.
Yeah, they send money to the states. So like the whole state mission bureaucracy, like our friend Michael Bortz, he works for the state. And 1% or 2% of what congregations is voluntarily sent to the state, and they pay for that. I don't know where the money comes for ERLC. That would be a very interesting question.
I almost wonder, and I know and correct me if I'm wrong, but on the cooperative mission programs, do you think that's a broader umbrella than just their missions department? That maybe that cooperative mission programs, it includes your dues, your membership fees, your belonging to the organization of sorts, and your money that goes to missionaries.
Well, I don't think they would call it a membership fee.
Well, I know, but I mean, to explain it to the non-SBC member.
Yeah, I mean, and I would venture to say that Lifeway has a responsibility for coming up with some of this money.
Man, that's a good thought.
Yeah.
Right, because those guys have to make money for the
Well, now they're going to be making a ton of money with The Shack, I mean, the movie coming out. I mean, they've got to have some stake in that, right? Didn't they help publish or...
Surely not. I mean,
that was in their bookstore.
I think they sold it. I don't know if they helped publish it or not, but they...
Right.
So they're willing to make a few bucks off of it.
Yeah.
Well, I saw there was a thing the other day on that if you're a pastor, you could order this sermon kit on how to do an 8-week series on The Shack. So, yeah.
You're kidding me. It's a good idea in for Lifeway?
Us. So does it have a
not
big
Lifeway,
PowerPoint?
But on,
The PowerPoint comes with it, just has one slide that says lies.
Exactly. Well, and I read about a guy we're off on a tangent, but I read about a guy in Montana who built a shack in the front of the church, and he's been using that as his sermon tool for the last 2 months.
Sounds like something that
point number one,
Mark Driscoll would do.
Yeah.
Driscoll was real big on that whole staging stuff, and they spent a lot of money on for series.
But I don't think Driscoll would go along with
the... No, he wouldn't go along with the Shack. No, I was just talking about building.
The drama part of
it. Yeah, I mean, that's very popular in these, you know, our corner church over here. You know, you got to have just the right stage to...
Yeah. I think that's going out of style generally across...
Is it?
...across America now, but yeah.
Good. Yeah. That was a lot of wasted money.
Yep.
The fight over Moore is not just about him, though. The Southern Baptist Convention is changing, and Moore represents the denomination's shift in orientation. Moore has frequently spoken out against the old guard religious right, which was led in the 1990s and 2000s, in part by his predecessor at the ERLC, Richard Land. Moore has called on the denomination to divorce itself from Republican politics, especially as younger evangelicals show themselves to be more politically diverse, and has moved his organization in that direction. He is part of a new generation of pastors who tend to be more Calvinist in orientation, who have taken over leadership roles.
May I say that his idea of divorcing Christianity or the Southern Baptist Convention from the Republican Party is a very intelligent move.
Yeah.
I mean, to make it, you know, and that's, I mean, what do we back that up into the 80s with Falwell and all that, where it became the religious right? It certainly isn't the same party as it was 30 years ago, and I think a separation of church and state in that situation is a smart thing to do.
And certainly you can see the influence of a neo-Reformation would have some of those overtones going on.
Yep.
You know, just, you know.
I don't know. I think Dick Button would disagree with me, but... how do you keep a political orientation to a party, David, who has openly gay speakers at their convention, and then proudly call yourself a Republican?
Yeah, it's difficult. Because I think what you're seeing within the Republican Party is they're realizing that they can't win on social issues. And so whereas, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you know, people would have prominent parts of the platform on traditional marriage, on abortion, on things like that. That's becoming secondary, because what's the strength of the Republicans? Well, it's the economics, it's that sort of thing, and they're losing the culture battle with the universities and everything else and young people. So from a pragmatic standpoint, they're going to leave the social issues out of it. And so for those of us that are Christian and want to identify with a political party, it's going to become increasingly difficult to be able to identify with one, because they're not going to hold our values, because that won't get votes.
I mean, the boys from Prestonwood, I think in part, are counting on Trump to take us back to that religious right 20 years ago. And I think they're completely misreading him.
Yeah. Sure, because, I mean, they've already caved, because they've added the second R, repeal and replace. Mm-hmm. And I was telling you at lunch, is, you know, it's not the way it's done that's the problem, it's doing it at all that's the problem. You're giving someone, you know, universal health care, And even Obamacare doesn't work.
Right.
So tweaking a few things here and there isn't going to work. But we can see already the intense pressure. Like Dave, you said, they figured out, hey, we're not going to win with this language of just let all those people without a safety net go.
Right.
Let's go back to the way it was before we had this
whole
mess.
We've got a heart. We're going to protect those
right.
people.
You can't, you know, but they know in their heart of hearts that the best thing, the only thing that will work is to go back to insurance the way it was before all of this talk. That's the only thing, because that's what the actuaries and the underwriters do, crunch the numbers, say will work. because they're there to make sure it's profitable. And they know that you can't run a business like that.
Well, there's a reason that most of the insurance companies were already bailing out of the Obamacare program.
Right.
You know,
but see, I hear Republicans now taking up the language that healthcare is a right for Americans.
Right.
That's not what Republicans used to believe.
Yeah, well, you've got guys like Rand Paul that are being very vocal about, you know, this is not right. This isn't
And
this
he's
isn't
getting
any
run
better.
Over.
Yeah, they're locking him out of the room. They won't let him see the bill, that kind of thing. You know, and so... And I wonder, you know, on this idea, I wonder if his Morris Calvinist bent has anything to do with
of course it does.
With the opposition.
Absolutely. There's no doubt, because the boys in Texas are not Calvinists.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that is the Arminian arm of the SBC, and then Kentucky is the Calvinist arm, and then the Southeastern in North Carolina, here in North Carolina, has got both feet, 1 foot in each side of the camp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so there's no doubt that, you know, Post is coming up there from the South to flex some of his muscle because they don't like the influence that somebody like Russell Moore has. Yeah. When I was young, there was a culture that the SBC had, said Miller. You could go into any SBC church and there was just a way we did things. The preachers dressed alike, we sang from the same hymn book, and there was a culture that bound us together that's been blown completely to pieces. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, John, that's just as well for the Independent Fundamental Baptists of the 1980s that you and I both remember. It was the same thing. The church that you grew up in, Brian. And there was an expectation that if you went to a IFB church from one state to the next, you sang the same songs. Many of them had the exact same hymn books, same type of preaching, same type of dress, consistency.
I'd say it's still there. And in fact, straying from that as far as the IFB churches, you're now considered, you know, walking away or...
Right, liberal, you know, compromiser. Yeah. Exactly.
Not earnestly contending for the faith.
Right. Scott Newton was told because he moved away from the King James... In Spain, by the way, he will be preaching from the shack before you know it. Now, just imagine that.
That's the next step.
Right. That's normally the next step. You know, typically you walk away from the King James, you embrace gay, lesbian pastors. That's normally the next step. You know, and after that, AC/DC is your morning worship. It's ludicrous, David. Yeah. It's just utter ludicrous.
Especially when you think about the reason that most people walk away from the King James. It's because they want the people in the pews to understand their Bibles better.
Why would you do that, John? Why would you want people to increase the comprehension of the Word of God?
Well, know? I think that it might be a very good point, because what we've got now is we've got a war between that culture that he was talking about. This, when I go into church, it feels very comfortable, versus the Word of God, which at times doesn't make me very comfortable if I truly look at it and read it and understand it. And it's not very unifying as a culture, because it speaks to nothing about music. It speaks to nothing about how you're supposed to look, how you're supposed to dress, and therefore it seems a bit open. And so then if I go to a church in Kentucky and they do it one way, and I come here in North Carolina and they do it a different way, I might get uncomfortable.
Absolutely, I might get uncomfortable.
Yeah. I think it also extends, Pastor, off the fact of the pastors in those churches like the power that they have.
Mm-hmm.
When there's the, oh, well, we have to go ask the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen, you know, men rise with that power and then end up falling on their faces, whether it be in, you know, with various types of sin, but it's, they enjoy it, and, you know, they're not typically the churches that have several elders that are all keeping each other accountable.
I think that's
one man rises to the top.
I think that's what you said. It's almost Catholic in its orientation, in the idea of tradition trumps scripture.
Right.
Now, they may not articulate that.
Oh, and they
but that's
hate the
clearly,
Catholic Church.
I really appreciate
That's clearly what they're doing. And I think what you see with, you know, the Al Mohlers of the world and the Russell Moores of the world, who may use an ESV, and they're trying to allow Scripture to be preeminent in the church, is what Brian was saying. They don't speak to those things that are there. What John was saying with the music and the dress and all, it doesn't speak to that. So they're not going to be dogmatic about, well, if you're not wearing a navy blue suit, then you're not part of it. And if you're not singing from the hymn book, then you're not, you know, they're going. And so the traditionalists, the ones that are going to uphold tradition above all else, they don't like change. Then that's the uncomfortableness. Yep. Yeah.
It says the denomination is also looking ahead to a future membership that will be less white and more black and brown. Some of the most vibrant growing communities in the church include Hispanic evangelicals, for example. During his nearly 4 years in his position with the ERLC, Moore has focused on racial reconciliation as a key part of his job.
I almost wondered to what degree that stems out of his branching away from some of the tradition that he is being accused of.
Well, he has to do that.
What are you saying about these traditionalists?
Yep. Yeah. Are they racist?
I mean, I'm not going to broad brush anybody, but if you're resisting the idea of diversity in the church, that may be a red flag.
All right.
I don't know of many King James-only churches that are
racially integrated.
To include multiple. I mean, you might have one. You know, one or two in a large white church. The one that was attached to the Christian school I went to for most of my life. They had a few black people, but it was a white church.
Yeah, and you probably don't have any interracial marriages.
No. That's
no.
Probably pretty either.
And the one that I know of
upon.
Left.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's see. Where are we at? The denomination. I already read that. This may be.
Yep, so this may be why some in the SBC are pushing back. I never get this guy's name right.
Thabiti Anyabwile.
That was excellent, David.
Yeah, good articulation.
All right, a black pastor who leads the Anacostia River Church in Washington, D.C., comes out of Mark Devers, Capitol Hill Baptist.
Yeah, before that he was down in Jamaica, right? In one of the islands.
Yeah, Bahamas or something.
Yeah, yeah. Cayman Islands, maybe.
Yeah, something. Yeah.
Yep.
Tough
some
job.
Some beautiful climate.
Tough call to that.
No 30-degree weather in March. Things are motivated by either a desire to quiet conversations around race in the convention, or are motivated in some places by a kind of racial animus in opposition to the positions Dr. Moore has taken. A number of prominent African-American pastors have warned that Moore's dismissal would send a bad signal to their churches, which make up a minority of the SBC. The vast majority of black Southern Baptist Convention church leaders and pastors are not Trump-leaning, blindly loyal Republican voters, wrote Dwight McKissick, the pastor at Cornerstone Baptist Church in Texas, in a post for SBC Voices. Therein lies the potential for the outcome of this investigation to be tremendously and racially polarizing.
Well, the thing about Thabiti is he was... I follow him on Twitter, and he's very anti-Trump. And I think we did an article with that he wrote about why you should vote for Hillary.
Right,
was it him, or was it he allowed someone to write on
his church?
I think it was he allowed someone to write on his
post. On his blog. So
yeah, but in either case,
there's an endorsement there.
You know, when we kind of talked about it with our last Together for the Gospel conference. Where even those guys, you know, some of who would be in the Southern Baptist Convention, are they want to reach out and get it more ethnically diverse.
Yeah, T4G wants to get more ethnically diverse, but they're having a hard time finding Calvinists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, Thabiti or whatever, however you pronounce his name, and also always a good speaker at T4G go on record.
Yeah.
Solid as can be, is the anomaly.
He is,
You know, and so... The degree to which the SBC is divided is incredible. It's divided Calvinist, Arminian. It's divided Democrat, Republican. It's divided white and black. I mean, there are some significant divisions, and they're trying to hold this thing together because once it splits, your power is gone. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the reality.
Yeah, and that's clearly what's at stake here. Is, you know, if we let this go on, then this group may get more powerful. And, you know, you could say it's racial or not, but there's or theological or soteriological or whatever you want to call it. But that's what's going on within the convention. It's the power is at stake, and then they're afraid because it's so close. I mean, you know, we're talking about it's almost like if the House of Representatives was 50-50.
Right.
I mean, it's the same sort of thing. It's not going to take much to swing it in the other direction. And you know, maybe there's some Thabiti's claim that, you know, they don't want more black churches in there because that may swing the majority the other way. And you know, they're not comfortable with that. You know, and that's not an easy sell for the, you know, we talk about, you don't know too many black Calvinist churches. I mean, we have a couple young men that come to church here that are in my Sunday school class. and they talk about how, you know, their background is more of a charismatic background, so they're getting pulled in that direction on one side, and then on the other side they're dealing with the atheism and everything else on their college campuses. I mean, they really are the anomaly. It's yes. It's difficult to take mm-hmm. that stand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Moore's detractors say that his comments before and during the election were equally polarizing. I don't think Dr. Moore's comments about Donald Trump are what have him in hot water, said Lewis Richardson, the pastor at Woodlawn Baptist Church in Baton Rouge. He has single-handedly caused more division in Southern Baptist life than what we've seen in the last 30 years over a tertiary issue, politics.
Is it really a tertiary issue, though?
Is it
more disruptive than when they threw out all the people who didn't believe in the Word of God? Well, that was 20 years ago, right?
Right. Yeah, I think that's a pretty exaggerated statement.
As if he's the only one guilty of causing division.
Yes, right.
You know? And if it is a tertiary issue, then why is there division about it? You know?
Well, there's a great question as to what role should the SBC have in politics?
None.
Well, I mean, if they want to have a role in politics, fine. But, you know, I don't know how you're going to... When you allow the leeway that they do within the convention... Just think about it from the Calvinist Arminian standpoint.
Right.
I mean, what other organization is there, church organization in the entire country, or maybe even the world, I don't know.
That has both.
That's not an ecumenical, you know, universalism right. thing.
Full maybe yeah. some of the parachurch organizations, I'm thinking maybe like Answers in Genesis.
Well, maybe,
would
yeah.
have, you know, where it's
they
not...
want to, where they want to involve a lot of different kind of churches, but yeah. to say we're under one banner... And we're all putting our money into the same pot, and we're all kind of moving in the same direction. To think that okay, we can be both Calvinist and Arminian in our orientation, and we're not going to have disagreements. You can't have a united front if that's the basis. I mean, I think that's the whole argument for independent Baptist churches, right?
Absolutely. And I would just extend to it that even in the year 2017, the Arminian SBC churches still believe that salvation is appropriated. Even if they don't articulate it this way, pragmatically, their methodology shows they believe salvation is appropriated by a prayer.
Sure.
So, you've got Donald Trump. We were told he prayed the prayer.
Yeah.
You know, the leader of the Focus on the Family said, I know the guy who led Trump.
Yeah, the woman, I believe. I think they said Paula White, who's a prosperity false teacher, by the way.
Right. Yeah, I know the person who led him to Christ, and what they really mean is prayed a prayer.
They got him to pray a prayer.
Got him to pray a prayer, and that is so. You've got this. Not only are we converging on Republican Democrat, but that behind that, when we peel that back, is Trump saved or not?
Yeah.
Because if he's not saved, then Russell Moore has all the right in the world to be criticizing him to pieces.
Yeah.
But if the boys in Preston would think that the man's saved. Because they heard a white guy from Focus on the Family say, I know the person who led him to Christ, mm-hmm. and they believe that salvation is appropriated through the articulation of words, then now he's good. And
touch so, not God's anointed.
There are layers in this controversy.
Well, that's what I was thinking. This thing is so complicated. You know, when anybody purports to come along and understand a complex idea like this, and they're just going to smooth sailing is the promise. And, you know, you just know they have no idea about how complicated this thing is put together. You know, it makes me think of, well, the whole thing we're talking about, healthcare. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just going to wave this magic wand and this is going to work this way. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. I mean, you start pulling on this thread. Now we're talking about Medicaid and Medicare. Now you pull on this thread and we're talking about, you know, tax reformation. Yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous to think it's a simple answer.
Well, what's the Southern Baptist Convention's position, or what do they want to be? What do they want their priorities to be in Washington? And I would guess it's religious liberty, pro-life, traditional marriage. You know, and there may be other issues, but I think those are probably your three biggest platforms. Has Russell Moore budged an inch on any of those things?
No.
He's going to uphold all those principles. So unless you're going to make being a Republican a requirement to be in the Southern Baptist Convention, it's ridiculous to think you have to vote for who I vote for.
Yes, you talk about complicated, messy. I have men that I feel are brothers in Christ that vote Democrat, and I feel strongly about that. Yeah. And if I were to look at them and say, I cannot believe that you're a born-again believer because you vote Democrat, that would just be ludicrous.
Yeah.
It would be ridiculous in my mind, knowing these men especially.
Yeah. I can disagree with them.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it can't be that of a simplex. You can't just say it's this easy. Because there's all kinds of issues involved. And I would hope that the Southern Baptist Convention said, you know what, the Word of God and the Gospel is our primary goal.
Yep.
Well, I don't understand how even inside the SBC, obviously, like we've said, there are the Arminian side, there's the Calvinistic side. Both would identify in the priesthood of the believer. They would agree with that. So why are they then pushing for the organization made up of believers to vote in a particular way with their political endorsements?
Well, I would submit that most of the people who are in the pews in those churches have no idea what you're talking about when you say the priesthood of the believer.
Yeah, I would agree with you 100%.
Because they probably know more about the Southern Baptist Convention than they do those concepts.
They may know a little more on Russell Moore's side of the aisle.
Right, exactly. And I'm broad brushing, of course, with your your typical...
Yeah.
Painting of the Southern Baptist Convention. And I know, just like Roman Catholics, they're not all like that. Yeah. But
we're going to have some angry Southern Baptists on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Richardson said he believes Moore was condescending towards Southern Baptists who disagree with him about Trump, something Moore apologized for after the election. But it was more than that on issues on the convention's stance towards the Confederate flag, to its recent decision to file a religious liberty brief in favor of the mosque, which, by the way, they pulled back on. He thinks Moore has been dismissive of those who think differently from him, and he sees Moore's rhetoric on race as inflammatory. He says, I personally believe Barack Obama is solely responsible for increased tensions in race relations in America, Richardson said. In the same vein, Russell Moore is responsible for the current flare-up of negativity in race relations in the Southern Baptist life.
Okay, so they're angry that he did not support the Confederate flag, or what Russell Moore realizes that so many people don't, is that if you're going to fight for religious liberty, then you have to allow religious liberty across the board, or you're in a bad spot. We're seeing that all over the place. That doesn't mean he supports Islam. It doesn't mean he equates it. And he's responsible for race flare-ups. And because he doesn't support the Confederate flag, he's responsible for a race flare-up. And doesn't this go both ways? There's some irony there.
Yep.
Yeah, he's been dismissive of those who think differently from him. Well, what are you doing to Russell Moore and the people that think like him?
Same exact thing.
You're dismissing him.
As the convention works through its changing identity, the controversy over Moore's job is likely to continue as a flashpoint. The leadership of the SBC may be trying to build bridges within the denomination, but many believe those bridges were already burned in 2016. Yeah, they were burned before that.
So the question is what's the future of the Southern Baptist Convention?
Yeah.
Will there be a split?
Yeah.
And what are the dividing lines? You going to split on political party?
We did that article a couple months back, and Calvinism is a Trojan horse to try to destroy the Southern Baptist Convention. That doesn't sound like we're going to be able to smooth this out. That seems like that means you're an enemy. Maybe he knows the story, you know. But the Trojan horse was an enemy army. So with those terms, I wonder.
Yeah. Well, the guy down in Texas, what's his name? The president of the university. We mentioned him in the middle of the article. The one that wanted Moore fired. My brain is stopping. He was at Southeastern Seminary, and then he went down there. Page Patterson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was the outspoken anti-Calvinist guy.
Yeah.
You know, there's no doubt that Russell Moore would be getting more of a pass if he was Arminian and had pastored one of the big Arminian Southern Baptist churches. And there's these regional strongholds, if we can use that expression, that may very well split the SBC. And the truth of the matter is it's not a growing denomination.
No. They may be the largest, but they're not.
They're shrinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're shrinking in baptisms. They're shrinking in membership. They're shrinking in influence. They're struggling to make budget. just like everybody is that's trying to be Orthodox in this year.
Yeah, I just think it's very difficult to maintain unity when you're saying, you know, when you're in an organization that, I mean, that's soteriology is a big deal. Yep. When we're talking about God's sovereignty versus free will, we can't be on opposite ends of the spectrum and think we're going to be going in the same direction. Mm-hmm. It's going to change the way we preach. It's going to change the way we deal with unbelievers. It's going to change the way we do everything. You know, and in those some of those churches we've seen, we're going to push baptism. We had 39 baptisms this month. You know, but how many salvations did you have? You know, so it's interesting to see what this is going to look like in the future. Because I don't see compatibility in those two perspectives.
No, and if the entity splits, then things like the ERLC, they go away.
Oh, yeah.
Those mm-hmm. things go away because yeah. there's no influence and they don't have the money to support those kind of things.
Yeah.
You know.
And then maybe you lose some of that influence that you may be getting in Washington.
Yeah, which is why they don't want to give it up.
Right.
Right. They don't want to give that up in any regard. But the issue is, do they expect the President of the United States to make America Christian? You know, and I think the answer is yes.
Maybe that's what they think, yeah.
Right. I think that they really have this expectation that Trump is going to do what the church has not been able to do. You know, the church didn't stop same-sex attraction or marriage. The church did not stop Roe versus Wade. The church is not stopping the transgender movement. It's just not. I mean, that is not, nor do I get up every day figuring out how I can work harder at stopping that. I mean, we are focused around here on the sanctification of individuals and families. That's where our focus is.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's almost like their definition of a Christian is someone who is pro-life, mm-hmm. Pro-gun, right. Pro-states rights, just right on down the line, Republican. They would, you know, probably live in the South and all this. And it's all, where's the cross?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, where's the resurrection?
Yeah. It's idolatry. It's pure and simple is what it is.
You want to talk about tertiary. Yeah. It's taking the evidences for being born again and making them... Mm-hmm. The main thing.
Contingent on that, And you can believe all that stuff. There's nothing wrong with taking every one of those positions. But if the cross is fifth in that line of priorities in your life, then you've got it backwards, you know? That you may not be saved because the cross doesn't go fifth. Well, Jesus doesn't allow that.
Right, David, what's any different about that than the African-American churches that have been preaching about politics from the very beginning?
Social justice.
The only difference is the difference in culture.
Yeah. Right.
So you're talking one culture, another culture.
Yeah. It's the same idea.
And that's really what the race war is about. And that's the beautiful thing about the gospel, because it has nothing to do with either one of those things.
It cuts all that out.
It goes right down the middle path and cuts a path right between both of those things.
Yeah, it brings us all together. Yeah. Right.
And so if we would just stick to the gospel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and don't expect the world to do that. You know, don't expect the world to not act like the world. Don't expect a worldly president not to act like the world. He may throw you a bone here and there. He may help you out with religious liberty. You know, he may make a stand on those things. That's great. But don't put him in any kind of position where he's a savior, because he's not.
Yeah, Jesus says, take up my cross, few there be that find that. And we're like, oh, yeah, I got that. But everybody in America is going to be a Christian.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's not what he said. Please listen again.
Yep, you're exactly right.
This is God's chosen land, right? Yeah. Israel 2.0.
You know.
All right, well, as of now, Russell Moore still has his job. And we'll see. We're going to continue to report on this over the months and years to come, because it's interesting. These are brothers in Christ. Mm-hmm. We read their books. We have their commentators on our shelves. We go to their convention with them. And we're just on the outside looking into this thing. And, you know, quite frankly, we don't have to worry about it. None of our money goes to a cooperative program. None of our money goes to Russell Moore. All the dollars that are allocated here are accountable and tracked and distributed to the people that we know that are like-minded. And quite frankly, we're not worried about the political orientation of those people. You know, around our table, when we had Joey here and Steve, we were not all in agreement as to how someone should vote and what you should do with voting for Trump. And we respected the differences that we had around this room. Once you cross that line where you're now saying the preacher has to align with a a particular politician, then you've really crossed a line that is untenable as far as I'm concerned. Just get in line, get in step.
You've clearly admitted that Scripture is no longer the arbiter for your truth.
Right. Or your conscience can guide you in those matters.
Yeah, preferences are more important.
Yep. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.